Well, joining us now, all the way from his holidays in Bali, that is the kind of commitment we love. Phil Moss joining us. Mossy, how are you?
I'm great, Mido. Good to speak to you, Loz and Gowie. You know, sometimes you just got to do what it takes for the team.
Well, there's a rumour going around, Mossy, that you're holidaying with Arnie, and the reason that you're holidaying with Arnie, you're trying to get on the coaching staff for the World Cup.
No, that's impossible, matey. It'll only take quality coaches to a tournament like that, Loz. So, no, I'm no shout for that, mate. Just over here helping him relax and get focused for the sharp end of the preparation.
The things you do for a junket, Loz. Anything.
That's exactly right, you know. That's exactly right. I'm sure Mossy would have said to him, mate, if anyone pulls out at the last moment, I'm available.
Oh, look, I just said simply to him, mate, if I was in your shoes for that last qualifier against Peru, you know, that's an easy decision, putting Redmayne into the penalties.
Well, Mossy, we're going to do a big Premier League season preview with you. But firstly, I wanted to ask you about Ernie Merrick's new role at Football Australia. Tell us about this.
Yeah, look, it's a brilliant appointment by FA CEO James Johnson and senior management and the board for ratifying it. Ernie Merrick is a multiple premiership and championship winning coach in the A-League. He's got 40 years experience. He may have a slight Scottish accent, but he's an Aussie coach through and through, and he's got a real strong passion for Australian football. And it's a new role, chief of football, that will oversee just about everything to do with the football department. You talk about coach education, the pathways for young players, bringing the state federations together. It's a massive job, and you know, some have been in similar roles in the past and not got the cut through they were looking for. I honestly believe this is one of the most significant appointments that we've had in Australian football, and in a time of unprecedented opportunity with the Men's World Cup, obviously, later this year, and then hosting the Women's World Cup. There's a chance we may be hosting an Asian Cup as well. We've got junior national teams in major tournaments as well. So a great time for someone like Ernie to come in. I believe he's going to be given not just the blank canvas and the paintbrush, but actually the art studio, which will give him a chance to really reset things and work with the likes of Trevor Morgan, Ronnie Smith around coach education, and obviously the state federations with pathways. So really looking forward to what Ernie's going to bring to this role.
With that then, Mossy, what type of coach was Ernie Merrick, and what can we expect in a year or two's time from, you know, this technical director's role, and what type of football will we see Australians playing into the future?
Well, Loz, he'll have technicians in place, so his role will be to appoint technical coaches and technical directors, I guess, in his team. But he won't be on the field as such coaching teams. But I think the thing about Ernie's coaching was he always bought teams together to play a really attractive style of football, and it was successful. He won titles. So, you know, if ever we needed someone capable of bringing people together and working in the same direction for a great outcome, it's now, and that's Australian football, bringing the state federations, all the stakeholders, not just the state federations, but the stakeholders together for the betterment of the game. And, we've got a great opportunity now, and I think that's what he will bring, his collaborative approach. He's got a fantastic nature, great stature in the game, but also in sport more broadly, because he's been a mentor for an AFL club as well for the last few months. So, you know, he's well respected and well regarded.
Okay, the Premier League starts Saturday morning our time at Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace up against Arsenal. But just overall, Mossy, Man City are $1.62 to win the title again. Liverpool $3.50. Tottenham are the best back side. I'd say punters are looking for value, obviously, outside the top two in the market. But Tottenham have been 26 into $13, just back to $15. But 33% of the money in the winner market has been for Spurs since this market opened. Chelsea at 17, Man United and Arsenal both $26. And Arsenal are in from 51. How do you see this season playing out as far as that winner market is concerned?
Well, I'm going to go against the favourites, of course, because I honestly believe, and this is the head, not just the heart, Mido, but I honestly believe Liverpool will win the title. And my reason for that is I honestly think they've got more goal scorers. You know, they both, obviously their defence speaks for itself, and you know, they've kept their goalkeepers and the majority of their defensive structure, or defensive players, if you like, both clubs. But I honestly think that, you know, Liverpool, with what they've lost Mane, of course, but bringing in Nunes, who's hit the ground running straight away, and that adds to the likes of Mo Salah, of course, Firmino, Jota has just re-signed a long-term deal, Diaz. I think they've got more goals from different players, whereas I think Manchester City are putting a lot on the shoulders of Haaland. You know, they've lost Raheem Sterling, Jesus, just to name a few. There's quite a few goals in those two players, and they've gone to other Premier League clubs. So I just feel Liverpool and the way Nunes has started his time at Liverpool has all the hallmarks of a championship or title-winning side this season. I think it's going to be close between the two, of course, but I honestly think Liverpool are a decent value at $3. I think they're around $3.25 to Man City's $1.57. And I really like, I do like Spurs. If they can keep Harry Kane, now there's been some recent rumours and talk of him potentially going to Bayern Munich to replace Lewandowski. If they lose him, wow, that's a massive, massive loss. And of course, the transfer window's open till the end of August, so still some nervous few weeks coming up for Spurs fans.
You mentioned Man City and Haaland there before, Mossy. What type of impact will he have on this league?
Well, you know, hopefully, obviously, for Pep Guardiola and Man City fans, a massive impact was, but he's still 22 and he's been in Germany for a long time. So it takes time for players to adapt to the Premier League, particularly young players. And I know he's a giant of a human being, but he's still, you know, still 22, and that's not, you know, he's not a child, bony stretch, but he's still got a lot of his career ahead of him. So you've got to give players like that time to settle in. And, you know, we saw him in the Community Shield, you know, missed a couple of opportunities. So how long it takes him to settle in will be the big thing. His quality is not in any doubt whatsoever. Everyone knows he can score goals, and a lot of them, and he's a fantastic footballer, worth every penny that Man City paid. But he's got to prove that, and he's got to hit the back of the net regularly and replace those goals that, you know, Jesus and Raheem Sterling gave Man City last season.
Yes, Haaland is the $4 favourite in the top goal scorer market this season, from Mo Salah at $6, Harry Kane $7, and Gabriel Jesus at $9. But always fascinated in the relegation battle as well, Mossy. Now, how's this? At Tab, bets on Manchester United at 1,000-1 to be relegated, $300, $200, and another $300 bet at $751 to get relegated. That would be an absolute disaster, and hard to envisage that happening. But when you look at these clubs that have come up to the Premier League this season, Nottingham Forest, great to see them back in the Premier League. They're second favourite to be relegated at $2.20. How do you think they will go?
Yeah, look, it's going to be tough. It always is for the clubs that come up. You know, if you think of Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest and Fulham, it's going to be very, very tough. But Bournemouth are favourites for the wooden spoon. They're obviously favourites to go down off the back of that. I've got Nottingham Forest. So I've got Bournemouth, Nottingham Forest, and Leeds United. Now, this is not going to be popular with Leeds fans, but I'm not overly impressed with what they're doing. I wasn't overly impressed with them when they came to Australia and what they had to show. I didn't think they had an extra gear like the other clubs did. And let's compare apples with apples. If you look at Leeds and say an Aston Villa, on their tour of Australia, I just thought Aston Villa had so much more purpose about what they did, intensity and quality. And Leeds, you know, they lost Calvin Phillips to Manchester City, a lot of money, and haven't really gone to market to spend it to replace that quality with players that can create and score goals. I think that's where they're really lacking. So Jesse Marsh, the US coach, I think's got a you know, he's got a very, very tough season ahead. If he lasts the season, he may well be the first coach to get sacked. Who knows? But, yeah, I see Forrest going down, unfortunately, with Bournemouth and Leeds.
What do you see as the standout games this weekend, mate?
Oh, mate, round one, they're all standouts because it just means the Premier League's back, Loz. But obviously, you know, I'll be watching Fulham at home to my Liverpool, of course. But I think, you know, one that stands out for me, and it's not the highest profile game at all, but Everton and Chelsea. I think that'll be interesting to see how Everton can get their season off and running. Chelsea with Thomas Tuchel. You know, they'll be keen to get off to a good start. But the other one that I was looking at is Leicester and Brentford. You remember last season, Brentford got off to a great start in the Premier League and was a really tough place to visit for teams. But they're away to Leicester this time, and I think Brendan Rodgers is under some pressure this season to really lift Leicester and go closer, if not secure a Europa League spot in fifth or sixth spot. And also Newcastle. I think Newcastle are under huge pressure. Eddie Howe did a great job turning them around last season. But they are owned by big, big money owners now. And, you know, they need to be really pressing hard for Europa as well.
Have you got an opening weekend multi or a fancy, just a single bet that you like, Mossy? What are you thinking?
So tough to tip for opening round. Mido, I've always said that the competition really doesn't settle until about round four or five. But, of course, we've got a multi for our listeners. I'm going to go with Arsenal to get over Crystal Palace away from home into Newcastle to start their season on the right foot against Nottingham Forest into... Everton to cause an upset over Chelsea.
Oof.
At Everton.
Well, Everton themselves are paying $5.50 at home in that one. Chelsea $1.65 favourites. But putting Everton with Newcastle and also Arsenal, that three-legger, $16.32 with tap. Something to start with, Mossy. Really tasty if that comes up. You can buy yourself. You can go to one of those really fancy restaurants down at Uluwatu in one of those resorts for dinner.
Or I could just buy 1,000 Bintangs.
Make sure you bring home the Bintang singlet.
As long as it shows off your gun, Loz.
Can you get me one? Can you please buy me a Bintang singlet?
I might get you one that's three sizes too small.
That's the one.
That's what he's angling at. Hey, Mossy, enjoy your time over there. We'll catch up soon.
Look forward to seeing you next week, boys. Take care.